This episode is for any teacher who has heard any of the following things from their students. Things like, that's not even fair, or what? They cheated, or dude, this was freaking rigged, or I quit, I'm not playing this, this is dumb, or even worse. Those comments are connected to some sort of physical response, like throwing a pencil, throwing a punch, throwing hate your way simply because they couldn't manage the emotions that were connected to some sort of game, activity, lesson. And here you are as a teacher just trying to engage your students in fun and effective ways, and it blows up in your face and you're like, I literally don't even know why I tried this. If you have felt or experienced any of those things, this episode is absolutely for you. Because we are going to dive into something that I have been doing with my students this year that has been an absolute sportsmanship game changer. It's been a behavior management game changer, and it's actually really positively impacted things in the classroom as well. Now, before we get into that episode, which I am confident that you're going to love, I want to share a 5-star written review that was left on the Apple Podcast app by the listener of the week, Mrs. Z. She gave it 5 stars and said, uplifting and remembering these moments. I have been a listener of Monica's podcast for a while now, and they always seem to have the word I need for the season of teaching I'm in. Be it a fabulous strategy or a relatable teacher joke, Monica has it all. If you're not already following her on Instagram, you are missing out on a teacher bestie. You don't want to miss these classroom gems she shares. Mrs. Z, you are amazing and you are a gem. Thank you so much for leaving that 5-star written review and being our special listener of the week. If you haven't already left a written review on your preferred podcast platform, please do so. I really think with all of the changes that have been happening on social media lately, podcasts are going to be making a comeback. And I know that you already know that because you're already a listener. But I think these long form audio that you can listen to in your car during your teacher commute is a great way to start the day or end the day. And as you know, new episodes are released every single Sunday night. So hit pause as you're playing this. Make a mental note to leave a quick written review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you can be the listener of the week in the future, but more importantly, so more passionate teachers find this podcast in the future. We are going to get into an amazing episode, so let's get rolling. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I want to start this episode with a question. How competitive are your students? Because mine are insanely competitive. It doesn't matter whether it's a game of rock, paper, scissors where the prize is literally nothing, or a competitive game of kickball during PE or recess where the prize is you get to kick first in the game tomorrow. Whether it is something small or big, something that has a prize or just pride and glory, my students are in it and they are intense. And I used to think that this was just the mindset of middle school and high school kids, but now with my experiences in elementary school, I can see that the competitive nature of students is just heightened right now. And maybe that's because of how we roll as a society. Now, it doesn't always present the same way in every group of kids. Some kids are loud and competitive and they're like, let's go, let's go. And you're like, wow, this kid's about ready to put a sweatband on and, like, I don't know, make punches. But some kids are actually quietly competitive. And even though they're not like pumping their chest and being like, let me be team captain, let me be team captain, they're sitting there being like, we better freaking win. Okay, it's on like Donkey Kong. Let's go. But it's hard to see that because it's this silent side of a competitive nature. I think winning and losing is absolutely part of life. I think absolutely going full force and being dedicated to something and having that passion and that drive to win is actually not a bad thing. But I think we have to leverage that for learning. And I don't know about you, but I've become annoyed sometimes when students can't handle something competitive. Because as we stated at the beginning of the episode, it's like, that's so unfair. These teams are not the same. They've got 14 kids and we only have 12. Or like, this is so whack. That was a bad call, Miss Genta. You're a bad referee. Or like, dude, that doesn't even make sense. I'm not even going to play if this isn't going to be balanced and fair. And so here we are saying it's not worth it. I'm not even going to put our kids in these fun situations. And I've hit a wall as a teacher where I'm like, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And I'm going to revert back to a different teaching style. But I've also said, but how can I leverage this teachable moment? And so at the beginning of this school year, I was having conversations with other teachers in my building, but I was also having a conversation with my building principal, especially at the junior high school level. This is something that we struggle with. And so we wanted to focus on our junior high students, our seventh and eighth graders, because in my building, we have a dedicated elementary building and then we have a junior high and high school, but it's in the same physical location. Grades 7th through 12th attend to the same school building and have this same group of teachers. And we didn't really have something just special for them to make them feel like exclusive junior high students. And so what I did was take this idea of, man, our kids need to learn to cope in competitive environments, but we also want them to feel special and like they have a place in this building. It's not the high school and we just happen to go here. It's the junior high and the high school. Can we create some camaraderie assemblies? Can we create some competitive assemblies where we boost the climate and the culture? We show seventh and eighth graders that they can have fun and they can cheer each other on, but it can also be an appropriate, fun, competitive environment. So at the beginning of the school year, I pitched this to the seventh and eighth graders and said, what we're going to try to do is just have some junior high games. Like Olympic games, but just for seventh and eighth graders. And we're going to have you guys pick team colors, okay? And we're going to have you pick team kind of games. What is a game that you guys as seventh graders think that you could do really well in? And we have the same question with eighth graders. What is a game that you as eighth graders feel that you could do really well in? What's your team color, seventh graders? What's your team color, eighth graders? And we got them together in a gym and hyped them up and really built this up as something special just for them. And even if you're not a junior high teacher, even if you are not in the same predicament with creating these buildings that create boundaries and barriers for feeling like they belong, how can you make your first grade class special and your second grade class special and the upper elementary special and different than the lower elementary, right? This isn't about being junior high and high school. This is about making each grade level and each group of kids, showing them that they are bringing something awesome to the table, and we just want to highlight that. So seventh graders and eighth graders chose the colors of navy and green, respectively. And on our special game days, those were the colors that they decided they want to represent. And then they also talked about which activity do we think we would be really good at. And one group said, like, oh, we'd be really, really good at kickball. And the other grade level said, well, we would be really, really good at volleyball. And so it was settled. Those were the two activities that we were going to focus on. But those were not decided by me. Those were not decided by other teachers. Those were decided by in-class meetings. All the seventh graders talked and discussed and came up with that. There was a class consensus. Same thing with eighth grade. There was some debate on which color a lot of the eighth graders wanted, pink, and then it became white, and then it became black. And they struggled through that conversation, quite frankly. And it finally turned into like a whatever. I don't even care. It doesn't matter. And I wanted to get frustrated in that moment. But sometimes what has to happen is we have to create the space for kids to disagree. We have to create the space where kids get frustrated. We have to create these environments where that's okay, but we have to hit pause and say, how can we ponder a better way to handle this than getting mad, than getting frustrated? Let's get to a place of resolve where we can hear people. And even if our opinion doesn't win, even if our input isn't the thing that was the most popular, then at least our voices were heard. We can synthesize all of the opinions and the emotions that were in the room, and we can move on with being like, it's freaking stupid because my favorite color didn't win. I'm not even going to do this. How can we not give up and give in so early and create some momentum to say, it's not that big of a deal. My vote didn't win, and that's okay. I think we have to create the time in the space for these types of behaviors to develop. And we can argue these types of things should be taught at home. These types of things should be taught during athletics. These types of things should be handled by parents. Like, I think that's a valid argument, right? Like, those are life skills that could and maybe should be developed outside of the school setting. But the other question is do they? And the answer is probably no, not consistently, they don't. And so this is an opportunity for us as a school, because I think it's really, really difficult to keep momentum going in a math or a reading or a science or a social studies lesson where kids can't even get along with agreeing that we're going to use pencils today, right? Not everything has to be a debate, but if it is going to turn into a debate, do we have the skills and the coping mechanisms to just say, not that big of a deal, let's move forward. It's all good. It's cool. We Gucci, as the kids say. So we had determined team colors, school spirit colors. We had determined activities. Now it was time to do game on. And at the end of that first month, we hosted a little assembly where kids came in their spirit colors. We hosted these different activities and we hit pause during the games to celebrate when kids had good sportsmanship. We hit pause during the game when kid was having a negative and nasty attitude and we said, whoa, how can we handle this differently? We awarded points for winning the activities, but we also awarded points for great sportsmanship and great just really quick adapting and coping. We were giving out positivity points for just saying, you know what? That was a good call, Miss Jenta. It was kind of on the line. We might not agree that was out, but you know, you're doing the best that you can. We were awarding points in things besides the win and the loss for the actual competitive activity. And that made a huge difference. And you better believe I wore a sweatband for this blessed occasion. I wore a referee shirt that I had found at the Goodwill. I had a whistle. I was wearing Adidas slicky pants. I was taking this fun and I was taking this seriously. I also knew if I had worn one of the spirit colors of navy or green, I would have looked biased and the kids would be like, what the heck, Miss Jenta? So I was neutral on this. Because I wasn't cheering for 7th grade or 8th grade. I was cheering for kids. I want to say that again. I wasn't cheering for a certain group. As teachers, our goal and our job is to cheer on kids and give them opportunities, give them moments where they can have some fun and clap more than they critique. We as teachers should be clapping more than we are critiquing, and we should be giving kids the time and the space and the energy and the effort to show them, here's how clapping sounds. Not just the actual sound. This is what clapping more than critiquing sounds like. Here's what clapping more than critiquing looks like. Here's what clapping more than critiquing feels like. You know, I've got some good friends in education who would argue, if we don't teach it, we can't expect it. And I feel like sportsmanship and camaraderie definitely falls into that bucket. Are we actively teaching sportsmanship, camaraderie, and appropriate competitive culture? Because if we're not, we can't expect it. And I think our default is to be frustrated by it and say, like, that's not our job. When in the hell are we supposed to do that during our already busy and already bogged down schedule? I hear you totally. But could you do it on a Friday? Could you host a special assembly? That's what we did. We impacted the least number of classes possible. This entire assembly was only impacting two teachers, and I was one of them. That's amazing, because we found the times where we could do this and impact the schedule the least. And here's what's really, really cool about this idea. At the foundation of the whole thing are relationships. This idea is impacting how students react with students, how students behave with teachers, how students actually behave and cheer on their peers. It's all relational. And I think that it is 100% fair to say that when we have amazing relationships with staff and students with peers, and teachers with the people at home, in students with the community, when we have amazing relationships, that means that we are going to have 180 days of awesome relationships. And it's really exciting. I'm so pumped to make this announcement, because this is the first time that I've ever got to make this announcement. There's a brand new virtual course that I am hosting during the month of March called 180 Days of Awesome Relationships. Many of you have participated in some of my courses in the past, but this is brand new, never been delivered until 2025, and it is based off of my newest book called 180 Days of Awesome Relationships. This fun, flexible virtual course has video content, amazing and engaging discussion questions, 3 Facebook Live events where I dig in and answer the specific questions and ideas that you need to build those relationships with staff and students, and you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit. This 180 Days of Awesome Relationships brand new course is starting this March, and registration is open right now. I encourage you to check it out and get signed up before the spaces fill up. Because this is a brand new course, I do think that slots will get filled. So check out monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up for the brand new course, 180 Days of Awesome Relationships. I promise it will make a huge positive impact on all of the relationships that are happening in your successful school, and it will take your school culture to a whole new level. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses or go directly to the show notes for a link to get signed up. I would love to see you in the fun, flexible course in March. I want to give you a few other quick important details about this that might be going across your head or passing through your heart right now. And one of the questions is, did every single student get to go? And the answer to that was yes. This was not based off of grades. This was not based off of write-ups. 100% of students got to go to our first ever camaraderie assembly. And the goal was that this was going to create some buy-in. We let them know in advance that even if volleyball isn't your favorite thing, that's okay. We're going to still celebrate you. Even if you're not feeling super athletic, that's okay. You're still part of the team. And so every single student got to go, regardless of whether or not they were failing classes or not. And that did create some opinions for some staff and some students, because the thought was, well, should that kid actually get to go if they are failing multiple classes or don't have multiple assignments turned in? And please know that I get that sentiment. I understand that. And throughout the year, things changed and adjusted a little bit, but for the very first assembly, all students were able to attend, and 100% of kids stood on the court and participated and kicked the ball and tried to catch the ball and, you know, bump set spike. I never played volleyball, so I don't know all of the volleyball lingo, but it was an opportunity for all kids to come and cheer on. Because one thing that, you know, I noted in this episode was that, like, it wasn't all about athleticism. There were points for winning, but there were also points for loudest cheering and best sportsmanship and not debating with the referees. So there were a lot of cool skills and strengths that kids could bring to the table for this. Another question might be, well, how long was it? One class period. Okay, this whole thing lasted from like 45 to 50 minutes. So it wasn't this massive chunk of time. Okay. Now, did every single kid wear the team colors? No, and that was okay too. God love them, they tried. Like, there was one kid who didn't have the navy blue, but they wore black, and they're like, this is really close, right? There was no points awarded for school colors. No points. And that's on purpose. Because we didn't want a kid's wardrobe or lack of colors of certain clothing or lack of variety of clothing to negatively or positively impact the points on this. So we appreciated any attempt and every attempt to wear the school colors if a kid wanted to, but we did not assign points for that. And I know a lot of you have maybe done something similar to this at a high school level for like homecoming or prom. Those are very popular times to do these kinds of games and awarded points for that. At the junior high and at an elementary level, we simply did not, because I do think that kids are too young to coordinate that kind of thing. And if they didn't have a pink shirt and pink was the color, they can't drive over to a friend's house and borrow one. So we did not assign points for colors of the actual shirts or things like that. Now, if you have any other questions about this, feel free to reach out, because it's likely that if you're listening to this right now, that there have been multiple spirit assemblies that have happened since the first one. And I would love to tell you how things have changed, how we've adapted, and how we have grown in this concept. But if there's something that I can do to support you as you try to implement these camaraderie and sportsmanship assemblies to increase the just positivity and the proactive communication that your students can have, let me know. I would love to support you. As a reminder, this Teacher Life podcast is in its sixth season with over 200 episodes. So if you haven't been a listener for very long, welcome. We would love for you to write a written review to let us know what you think about this podcast, but absolutely binge listen to other episodes that have been released over the course of the past 6 years. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, as always, thank you for living this teacher life.